You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Friday. Even I'm happy for Friday. We're going to talk a lot about UA football, UA basketball, a lot about things. I have in studio Matt Moreno of GoAZCats.com, my insider guy. I remember when I used to be an insider guy. The good old days, as I like to call them. I was your age and having a good time. Now I'm just a grumpy old man, Moreno. This is your future. Look at it.
It's scary, Steve. It's almost Halloween. It's
Halloween-like. You have heard of La Llorona?
I have.
I am the male version of that.
Oh, no.
The Llorón. I've covered many of those people. And if, for those people who don't know what a Llorón is it's a?
Screamer, crier.
Crybaby.
Yeah.
A crybaby, a whiner. In fact, we're going to have Anthony Gimeno, too. Mr. Tom, I forgot to give you his number. I think he's on the list.
I'll check it.
We'll call him in about 5 or 10 minutes. You know, the sports guys will come back on the show.
I will see if he is on your list.
We're much better looking on radio.
Yes, we are. But we're on YouTube today, so, you know. So that,
well, don't tell the people that.
They won't go to that. Our one listener will not do that. He's probably driving, probably wrecking. So how did it go this week at the press conferences?
It was actually probably the least exciting, I feel like.
And that's saying a lot.
Yeah, I mean, even the players, it wasn't fantastic. There was kind of the usual things you suspect at this point.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. They're just at a weird point in the season, I think, where you still really don't know if you can call them a good team. And I think they don't really know if they're good yet either. And so they don't want to say too much. They don't want to sound like they're too confident, I think. But they don't necessarily like when they're being talked about in a negative way either. So it's kind of just a strange point in the season where we're still just waiting to see what they're about and what type of team they are before we can really, you know, dive into some deeper topics, I think.
Do you, after the first 5 games, you have no idea?
No clue.
I don't think anybody does, including them.
No, and I've picked them to win this week.
You did?
I did.
What, you start to drink or something?
No, I just think, but it would not shock me if they lost bad. It's a weird conference for one. You know, they're playing Washington, who lost to Stanford last week, and, you know, people wouldn't have picked that game, you know, to go that way. So, it's just a weird conference to pick, and I don't really know what to expect from Washington. I know there's been the buildup of they've lost the game. They don't want to lose, you know, going into Oregon. But until Arizona proves me otherwise and, you know, loses a game pretty badly, then I'm going to roll with them. And maybe that's the kiss of death.
Wow.
I thought about that as I wrote a story today and picked them to win. I said, this is probably them lose. This is guaranteed they're going to lose.
Well, let me tell you something. I have an intern at my other place, and he says, you know what you're doing? Continue to say that they're going to lose because that makes them win.
Yeah.
And so
I think there's something to that.
So they're not listening to me, obviously.
No. But I think in general, I think they hear. And as much, it's funny, if you ask them, oh, what are you paying attention to? They would say, oh, I don't. They won't tell you, but you know that they're paying attention. And it's funny because the last couple of weeks, a lot of the players have said, "But no, keep talking bad about us. We don't mind if you guys keep doing that because this is one of those teams that needs that kind of motivation."
Let me ask you something. Outside of some certain few who have been talking bad about them, has anybody been talking bad about
them? No.
Of course not.
But if it's anything bad, that's a blanket statement, and that's what you believe. If you talk bad about one player, that means you hate the whole team.
So tell me, Matt, who did we going to a player? So who was talking bad about you? Everybody. Nobody's talking bad.
And there's a difference between being critical and talking bad. No one is talking bad about them. People are being critical about things that I think are deserved to be critical.
But even then, because they've gone 4 straight, what's the critical part of it?
Right, and it's just being kind of nitpicky and saying, okay, this little thing, you know, maybe they're not getting enough sacks or different things, and you try and pick different things, I think, to at least talk about, because you can, and this happens with, you know, my website and different things. People are much more active when a team is bad.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to talk about when a team is bad as opposed to when a team is good, and that's just how it goes.
No question. Even when you have a game and a coach, the coaches don't say, you did this well, you did this well. They talk about the bad things.
Right.
We're going to learn from our mistakes, yada, yada, and we move on. It's funny, back in the day, I can't remember who it was. It was a player maybe 20 years ago. He was a bench player for U of A under Lute and from San Diego. So that'll kind of narrow it down, but I forget his name. And he transferred. He transferred. And so at the next stop, he went and was interviewed after a game where he was at. He says, what's the difference from here in Arizona? He says, well, Arizona is the only school where you win by 40 points and you still get told that you didn't play as well as you can. Don't you think that happens everywhere?
Yeah.
It happens everywhere.
Yeah.
If you want to be good, if you want to be elite, you're going to get stuff. Even as a parent, you say, you know, okay, you did this, but you need to do this a little bit better.
Well, yeah, and it's kind of, it's something we've talked about before. You look at the last 20 years of Arizona basketball, and how many programs would love to have, you know, what Arizona's had.
Oh, yeah. Sure, no
and
question.
And for Arizona fans, it's not good enough. They're still saying, no, they need to get back to a Final Four. They need to win national championships and beat that team.
I know you're a young kid and your history with teams is not that much. But, and now I was going to lose it, and I'll ask Anthony. Let me come back to this question.
Okay.
Anthony, you there?
Steve, have you lost your train of thought?
I lost. Your calls flustered me. Your Clarence flustered.
Matt, run away, Matt. Run
and I was gonna say, sure, blame Anthony for forcing you to lose your train
of
thought.
No, but isn't that the case, Anthony? And you've covered a few different coaches. They talk very little about the good things. They talk about we got to improve on this area, even when you win by a lot of points.
Okay, where are you going with that?
Well, isn't that the case? I'm just trying to maybe get reaffirmed that that's the case, and. We're talking about the criticalness or the critiques of this team. I don't think there's been very many. They're four. Well, they've won four straight. We just don't know how good they are.
Yeah, well, there's social media was on full blast after the loss to Hawaii.
Yeah,
mostly centering on Marshall Yates. But in terms of the media, no, not really.
Yeah,
but,
I don't think so.
That's usually the case. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen a lot of media people, especially locally, like, this guy's got to be fired or something like that.
No.
But, I mean, I think Matt was talking about it. It's like, well, if you're a player and you see these things on social media and, you know, maybe you get a little chip on your shoulder and that's not the worst thing, but, you know, sometimes the two can get mixed
muddled,
up, you
muddled,
know? Yeah, it's like you guys are talking like this. No, that's a random Joe fan on Twitter who's just spouting off. But
and that could be and that happens on about anything, anytime. You're not.
About any topics,
right.
Sports, politics, business, whatever,
right?
Entertainment, everywhere. So it happens pretty much after any team loses. I see that a lot because I handle a lot of national college football stuff. And if Iowa loses 10-3 to Michigan, then Nate Stanley, who's been a really good quarterback for them, he sucks.
Right.
Got to get rid of that guy. Like, okay.
You,
it happens everywhere.
You covered the football team like I covered the basketball team back in the day. It's kind of not strange, but I think that Arizona is one of those teams that gives Washington fits for whatever reason and has throughout the years. Is it true?
At times. I mean, the overall record, like 11-21 and maybe a tie in there with the series against Washington. But I did something, and actually I borrowed a little bit from our pal Javier Morales at allsportstucson.com. Several years ago, he did a list of like the top five Arizona-Washington games. And I turned that into there's some bad losses in there. So I turned that into a top five Arizona wins against Washington. There's only been 11, but the top five they came up with are unbelievable. I mean, some of the best moments and best games in school history came against Washington, starting with the win when in 1992 when Washington was number one and the Desert Swarm was becoming the Desert Swarm, and then the Leap by the Lake Cortez Jenkins game, of course, as number two, and in my mind the second best play in school history after Chuck Cecil's interception return against ASU. So those are two right there off the top, and then there's other big wins late, last second field goals to win game. 2014 game here when Casey Skalren won
right
with a field goal and he scored a touchdown on the fake earlier. That was a great moment, and it was so key because Arizona goes on to win its last two games and wins the Pac-12 South. So there's been some really, really fun moments for Arizona against Washington, but it's gone the other way. I saw that 54-0 game in Seattle, 1991, way back in the day, and then was it 2009? The Washington reception that went off the guy's shoe or didn't go off the guy's shoe. I mean, that was an unbelievable game. So these, they do have a history of playing some memorable games.
Right, right. Would you, can you stay for the other side for a little bit?
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break here, Tom, and come back and talk to Anthony and my son Moreno here on the other side. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. In studio with me is Matt Moreno of Go Easy Cats and Anthony Jamino of SI.com. So did you, as Moreno, we first opened the show, he said he's picking or he has picked Arizona. Who do you have?
I'll stick with Washington. I think it could be a close game. I think like pretty much... maybe the possible exception of Arizona's game at Oregon. I see a lot of games decided by about a touchdown or less in Arizona's future. This is probably one of them. Individually, Washington has more talent. I know Matt knows that, but he's trying to make a savvy pick there. And Washington's kind of weird. I think Matt said that. They're not quite what we thought they would be. And this was supposed to be a year where they're going to open up the offense a little bit for a couple of reasons. One is they have Jacob Eason, not Jake Browning at quarterback. And Eason's, 6'5", 6'6", and has the NFL arm and all those kind of things. So they're supposed to kind of, take more shots, be a more vertical team. And one of the reasons they were so conservative in recent years was they had a great defense. So it was, the old Dick Domi philosophy. You're going to play to your strength, which is your defense. So you're going to be kind of conservative on offense. You're not going to take a lot of chances. You're going to preserve your right to punt. But their defense had to replace 9 starters from last year. So they can't quite play to their defense the way they did the last 3 or 4 years. So all that led people to think that, okay, it's going to be a more offensively diverse and explosive Washington team, but they've seemed to have trouble. They've had trouble breaking out of their rut. It hasn't really shown up yet. And maybe last week when they lost to Stanford's a wake-up call. I don't think that's necessarily a good thing for Arizona that Washington's coming off a loss.
Mm-hmm.
If it forces them to make some changes or refocus or whatever, that could be that could be a dangerous thing for Arizona. But I think Eason's the whole key to this game. If he's really good and has a lot of time to throw, Arizona's going to have trouble winning.
So
they can pressure him, and then they've got a decent shot because he's really not good under pressure.
So one last question before you go, and I don't ignore Moreno here. Do you think that do you think Khalil Tate's game last week was perhaps his best game overall, save for that Colorado trip 2 years ago?
I guess you can make that case. He's had some pretty good games, but never that much passing yardage. And except for the one bad interception, he was kind of on point and in control and calm. And that's the thing. If teams are going to line up against Arizona and say, okay, we're going to make sure you don't run the ball very well. Okay, Khalil, let's see what you got.
Right.
Then he needs to do exactly what he did. And he's quite capable. I'm not sure right now he's actually getting the kind of the attention he deserves. It seems like he's kind of yesterday's news nationally.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a million ways to break up the stats, but ESPN has their own QBR rating, and he's number 8 nationally. And then Pro Football Focus, they do this deep dive into, all the individual plays and stuff, and they've got him rated as the 8th best quarterback in the country right now. The Unitas Award, which they came out with, like, their quarterfinal list or something this week, list 20 top quarterbacks in the country. He wasn't on there.
Right.
That doesn't make sense to me. I think he's a top. He's playing right now like a top 20 quarterback.
Right. Well, I'll let you go. Thanks a bunch for joining us.
Matt,
are you going to the game tomorrow? Are you going to the game tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'll see Matt there.
Yeah, I'll be there too. It's unfortunate.
Okay. He didn't say he'll see you though. He said.
Or he wants to. I'll be sitting right next to him. What's wrong with you? All right. Thanks a bunch, Anthony. Appreciate
it. All right.
Bye. Yeah. So, do you think that was his best game outside of that one great game against Colorado?
It's probably going to be the one that you remember most, and maybe that's just because it was the latest one. But to me, that showed something that I don't know if people didn't think it was possible. But didn't think it was likely that he would be able to throw for more than 400 yards.
But even his they weren't long passes. He didn't.
No.
They were
no,
dink and dunks.
The game plan looked a lot like it did the week before with Grant Gunnell in there, which I think was to him proving, hey, I can do this too.
Right.
And I think it would be, we'd be remiss not to talk about that aspect of it, which I think people are kind of glossing over, is that he saw a true freshman go in there and everyone go, hey, this guy's pretty good.
Good observation. I didn't think of that.
And he's a competitive guy.
Yeah.
Even if you're still a little bit dinged up, you're going to say, I need to get back out there because I want to finish out this season.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that's where Arizona was leaning. I don't think there are any indications that the coaching staff was saying, oh, this is our guy now. We've settled it. But I think there is going to be that competitiveness from a guy like Khalil where he says, I saw what that guy did. I'm not going to let that happen again.
So I should ask this to you and Anthony. Who had a better day, Mazzoni or Khalil?
You have to kind of give it to both of them, I think.
Right.
But I mean, Khalil has to go out there and execute. And Mazzoni can, you know, have the faith to call those plays and know that, hey, I think they can work, but Khalil still has to go out there and execute, and I thought he did a very good job of that.
But, and I didn't really notice that or think of that, but you're right. The game plan was much the same, where the short passes, simple reads, get the ball to the guy. Grant did not do that.
Only running when he had to?
Right, only running when he had to. Grant did not do that. He missed a lot of opportunities with balls to the feet or overthrows or whatever.
Yeah.
But he did what he did had to do. He won, and so did Khalil.
Yeah,
which makes Khalil even more dangerous.
Yeah, well, to me, one of the things that you have to do if you're Arizona moving forward, and even this game against Colorado helped that, I think, is you just have to give something else to the defenses to have to worry about during the week. Keep them off balance just enough, and that way, you know, you can figure out, okay, when you get to game day, what are they doing? What are they not doing? How are they playing us? And then if you're, you know, the offensive coaching staff, you can figure out, okay, we're going to go with this approach, or we're going to go, you know, have Khalil or whoever's running, playing quarterback, run the ball a little bit more, as opposed to, you know, just sticking with the pass or just sticking with the run. You can keep defenses off balance, at least make them waste practice time preparing for everything.
No, I thought there was a great game last week. They're going to have to step it up, obviously.
Yeah, and I think if you're Washington right now, you're going to still say, prove it to us again.
Right.
And it's going to be that way until he really does prove it, and people say, okay, we have to think of something else because he's going to beat us with his arm now.
Right, and that actually, if they were to pull this off, it gives Arizona hope down the road to win a few more games.
I think the most impressive thing for Arizona that they can go out and do Saturday night is to play a similar style and have Khalil throw for, 394 yards or 390 or 400 yards again. And win the game. And you go, okay, well, they did that against a pretty talented defense.
Right.
Maybe they're not what they've been in other years, but that's a good team, and he just went out and did that against a good team.
Right, and one of the better teams in the conference,
right,
whether you like it or not. I mean, honestly, USC is not that good.
No.
Oregon is okay. ASU's okay.
Everyone is pretty good. The teams that are good are pretty good.
Right.
They're just not great.
Exactly. So you're,
and they're not scary. I don't think you can go through the conference and say, oh, that team should scare, you know, Arizona.
Right. In fact, the spread started at 10. Started at 10.
Somewhere around there.
And now it's 6.5.
Yeah.
That shows a lot what fans are thinking.
Yeah.
That Arizona has a chance.
Yeah.
And they do. I guess they do.
I think my reasoning for picking it is kind of going with the trend, and the trend lately for Arizona has been lower scoring than
normal
thought going into it.
Yeah.
And particularly on Arizona's side, not scoring as many points, and the defense, you know, allowing kind of a general range of points where they're giving up touchdowns, but they're doing enough to win games. And then you look at Washington's side and some of the things that Anthony was talking about, and it's a perplexing team, Washington, when you look at them and all the talent they do have, which they have a lot of the guys. If you look down the list over the recruiting list over the last couple of years, a lot of those guys are going to Washington. So they have the talent. It's just not, you know, coming out on the field that way.
What do you make of the attendance possibilities? 6,000 2 days ago?
Yeah.
Is any more news since then?
I haven't heard anything.
Because they made a mistake, I guess.
Yeah. They had originally said 4,000, and then it was
6,000.
They moved it up to 6,000.
Yeah, which is no, which...
Which, again, will still be the...
No question.
You know, the most attendance of this season. So.
In a long time, yeah. Too. It'll be, it should be fun. It's going to be deep into the night. It's going to be a little cold for Arizona, but it should be fun. A lot of fun things going on. If they win, it's going to go bonkers, I think.
Yeah, well, it'll just make people believe. But again, I think for Arizona fans, they've been at that point before where they go, okay, we're starting to believe. And I think they try and temper that themselves and say, no, we're not going to think this way because we know what happens. We know what comes next.
Yeah, no, Sumlin does do a good job with it, I guess, if that's his theory or what that's what he wants to do. It's poo-poo and all the craziness that goes along with it.
Yeah, I think he understands his team. And I think going back to kind of what we were talking about at the beginning, the motivation, they need something to motivate them. They're not kind of self-motivated guys. They need something that they can all rally around, and it's not going to be a speech from someone. It's going to be something that they see in the media or someone talking bad about them, another player, another team, whatever. I think they do, and they know it. They understand it, that they do much better when they feel like they're the underdog. And it's something that was talked about this week when we chatted with the players. I think they like that role more because I think they don't really know what to do if they're in that other position.
Well, haven't they been the underdog? They were the underdog last week, and not so much against UCLA.
Texas Tech, they were. And the thing they rallied around there was everyone was talking about Texas Tech's defense, and then Arizona comes back and responds with, you know, its best game on that side.
Okay, let's take our quick break here on 10-3 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Why on the Ball here on 10-3 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. And with me is Matt Moreno of GoAZCats.com. So we'll see. I mean, if there's anything to be critical about, I'm not too sure what it is. They've done...
They're finding it, Steve. They're digging through the blogs and through the message boards, and they're finding it.
Yeah, did you hear that one time when some guy said we were... They're fine. They'll be fine.
I mean, the thing that is different for a lot of these players, and Anthony brought it up, is social media. And I'm sure as much as they say, yeah, I'm not looking at my notifications, I don't know what people are telling me, there are fans who will go out there and tag them and... You know, so they're just have it set up like anybody else, and they're going to see the notification. And it's hard to not look at that. And
even
if you're picking out a few words, I mean,
there
is a lot of negativity out there with
any
fan base.
Yes, with like politics, sports, whatever.
Have you ever written a story that maybe had a typo in it, Steve?
Never. Actually, all of them have had typos.
You hear about that a lot more than you hear about, you know,
that's true.
People rave about your stories.
In fact, you could write 100 stories, 1% of them be negative. They'll talk about the negative story. Yeah. That's just what they do. And that's fine. It is what it is. You want to talk a little about, attendance. We talked about attendance. I don't know anything else in football. I just want to say, if that's it, that's it. Should be a good game. It's a late night. We're going to be there you'll be there until about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Hopefully not.
Is it 4 o'clock, 11:30, 12?
Just sleep there. Sleep at Arizona Stadium.
You sleep at Arizona Stadium. Don't we do that anyway, pretty much? Yeah. So it's been kind of subdued this week. Who was available players-wise?
Trying to think. Lorenzo Burns, Tristan Cooper, who both, they always, you know, they're good. Yeah, they can speak well and know how to kind of formulate good quotes. Tavian Cunningham, who's one of the new receivers. Donovan Lae, who's the offensive lineman. Josh McCauley, who's the starting center. There's one more.
Anybody to this point has got your eye in terms of being an overachiever that's done really well?
That's a good question.
I think one of them.
I think Tavian Cunningham. I think.
Yeah, he's got a
mean, I don't know what I expected from him. He came on so late in terms of just being recruited, and when they added him, I didn't really get a chance to get to know him very much before he, you know, went from recruit to being committed to being on campus. So other than just watching game film and watching some of his highlights, which obviously aren't, they don't tell you the whole story. They tell you kind of, again, the highlights.
Right.
You don't really know what to expect with someone like that. And for him to come out and be one of their better, you know, most consistent contributors, I think is a little bit surprising to me.
Mm-hmm. You've been here 8, 9 years now, and I'm going to put you on the spot. You don't have to answer this if you don't want. So I'm giving you an out. So 2 weeks ago, a week or so ago, someone talks about Gunnell not having to talk to the media. No freshman talk to the media, blah, blah, blah. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I understand it. As I think I'm going to, no matter what I say, I'm going to have a biased opinion because of what I do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to hear everybody talk. And I think we're... And I mean, most of us who have credentials and are able to go to the media sessions have good judgment and understand, you know, if something's said that maybe shouldn't be said, for the most part, we're going to know, hey, maybe we shouldn't use that unless we're really going to make that the story. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a give and take there, and you understand, okay, they're letting us talk to them. So we're going to, you know, we're going to choose what we use wisely. Not everybody's going to do that. And I think that's the concern, is that they're going to say something that they shouldn't be saying or shouldn't be talking about, and it gets taken, you know, and blows up. I'd love to hear from the freshmen. I think it would be, and I think it wouldn't hurt the program any. And it's tough because it should be almost like a case by case basis, because Grant Gunnell has been in the spotlight for so long. I've talked to him before. I've done a couple interviews with him.
He knows what to say.
Yeah. He understands what's going on. He gets it.
I think most of them do.
Yeah. And I think for the most part they do. And if they don't, it's not because if they say something that they shouldn't, it's not because they are, you know, a loose cannon. It's more that they just haven't done it before, or mm-hmm. they're unsure of what they want to say, so they say something they shouldn't.
And the last thing that locals or local media is trying to do is get you a gotcha moment.
Yeah.
They're just trying to tell a story. And
I think, again, going back to social media, I think that plays a part in it, where they can say something, and there's been programs who take away that right for people to tweet, sure. mm-hmm. tweet until after.
I think I would do that if I were a coach.
To tweet until after a coach, you know, because a lot of times people want to, if let's say when we used to meet with Rich Rodriguez after practice and he broke some kind of news, people were fast to get on their phones and start tweeting it out because you want to be first and, you know, have that as your breaking news. But there's been instances where people get it wrong and they get the quote wrong. They just heard it wrong, or from their ear to their brain to their fingers. It's lost in translation. And so there are some programs that take that away and say you can't tweet until the session is over and you've had a time to either listen back to it or think mm-hmm. about it more or whatever. You know, there's moments like that where, you know, when we're talking to these players, you can finish talking to them. They say something, you tweet it out there, and it's out there.
Yeah, so, I
understand that part of it.
I get it. You're talking to a guy who they let Gilbert Arenas talk. You're talking to a guy who they let all the freshmen talk. And did they say some crazy things? Yes. But did they mean those crazy things? I think that we realized that some of them were jokes, some of them were not.
Yeah, the other thing too is that, so if we're going to let them talk, let's say they get to talk in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say they're redshirt freshmen or just, you know, sophomores here mm-hmm. and going into their first spring with the team. Do we really think that they're going to grow up that much in 8 months, 6 months, that they're not going to, that they're going to say something in the spring that they wouldn't have said, or vice
sure.
versa?
Sure. I was going to say this. They're smart kids. They know, I think one of the things about college life is you learn how to grow up, and you learn how to wash your own clothes and go to school on time, do the right things and say the right things. Will you mess up? Sure. But you learn from those experiences. Isn't that what college is all about? That's my take on
it. I also think that should be, some of that responsibility needs to be on the program itself too, and saying, hey, these are the things that we're going to set you up to succeed, but you have to go and it's and just like it. a game.
It's called life.
Yeah.
It's a game of life.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like the preparations they're doing for a game. There should also be those preparations for, mm-hmm. hey, these are the things that we want you to do. This is how, the things you should avoid talking about, but you have to go out there and, you know, execute yeah. that.
The one guy that did that to the perfection of everything was, and maybe he saw it because he saw his dad do it, was Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah.
He didn't say much. You do interviews with him, he's always pointing to his teammates, never about me. Yet it was boring, but he did exactly what he needed to do. Never talked about himself.
Yeah, no, and that's, I mean, there's been instances this season where there have been players who have said certain things that it gets put out there and
really?
it gets taken the wrong way. And Tristan Cooper somehow comes up in these certain situations. And last year he was talking about, you know, when he knocked, I think it was Oregon they played, and he knocked one of the receivers out of the game. And he talked about, like, you know, that's our job. That's what we're trying to do. And the way he said it, it just came off as, I'm trying to injure players.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it gets put out there without much context. And if you're listening to what he said, that's not what he was talking about at yeah. all. He was just saying, I play the game a certain way. And that's
true.
Yeah.
And that's true. I didn't know about that, and I didn't reflect on that. But it's true. I guess that's how you say it. And it always kind of doesn't translate into print.
Right.
Unless you kind of
right.
put those disclaimers.
Well, and if you're only including part of a clip, or there's so many different sure. ways that you can mm-hmm. cut it up. And if you were to play it here and just hear the audio,
yeah,
it would sound much different than, you know, listening and seeing facial expressions right. and things like
right,
that.
Right. I've said this often, and Simon, you know, this Bob Baffert has these great quotes, and they're taken out of context, or his inflections or his context is just not.
And
right.
that's where I understand some of the hesitancy with players to warm up to the media, because I think that they can see moments like that, whether they're watching mm-hmm. them on SportsCenter or wherever.
Right.
And they say, if I'm going to say something, I know if it goes a little bit, you know, into that area where it becomes more candid and more of what I'm legitimately thinking, yeah. it could get taken out of context and, you know, turned into something different that it isn't.
I don't disagree with you at all. If you want to call in, please do 790-2040. Talk about the game tomorrow. We gave away tickets yesterday, great tickets yesterday through IRA Resources. Thank you very much. What else? We'll spend the next segment after this break talking about UA basketball and what we know to this point or whatever we don't know to this point. But it should be a fun game to go to late into the night. Maybe finally a big scoring game here in town because it hasn't been, which is, you know, I guess fine. It makes for a quicker game. But we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be fun for fans, and they'll know by halftime whether they need to leave at 10 or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, right. And that's typically the case when they're not in the game. But it's been okay. Everyone says, you know, they're playing well, yada, yada, and they probably are. But didn't you have them at 4-1, however they got to 4-1?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was either, yeah, they're going to be 4-1 or they'll be 3-2.
Or even 5-0. Some people had them at 5-0. They beat Hawaii. The one question was Texas Tech.
Yeah.
And we thought, to me at least, I thought that that would be the watershed moment where if they didn't win, then it would be disaster. But they won it and gave them a little confidence. Do you see a confident team?
Or I don't know. It's still tough. It's still tough to tell.
I don't think they are.
I think at their core, I don't think they are. I think
really,
yeah, I think they think they're confident, but I don't think that they truly believe yet.
And you have them winning this weekend,
yeah, and then maybe they'll get closer to believing.
Well, if they win this weekend, they got to believe, and then that would be very good. It would be very good. And this week, I've been not an apologist for me and them, but I've been wrong in picking the team a time or two. I think it's Texas Tech and Colorado, but they're doing exactly what they need to do. Beat the teams that are ahead of them,
and they're doing in a lot of instances they're doing just enough. Which in college football, that's all you need to do.
It's like democracy; you win by one.
It's how I got my degree.
Yeah. C plus. But it's like democracy; you win by one vote. You win by one vote. You're good, and that's what they're doing. And it's good for them. Good for them.
Yeah,
you know, it brings some. I'm sure the administrators are happy.
Yeah, there's then definitely you can feel a different kind of vibe this week, and maybe it's just.
Where, at McHale? Or?
No, just around. I mean, social media, Dave Hickey's tweeting about, get to the game and all that stuff, and it just feels a little bit different than, you know, other games.
Right. He's getting involved in the old marketing place. Hey, let's take a quick break, our final break here, and talk about hoops on the other side. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and in studio with me is Matt Moreno of Go Easy Cats. If you'd like to give us a call quick in the last 11 minutes, please do, 790-2040. We talk a little hoops now. This week was a big week because they went to the Pac-12 Media Day, and surprisingly, not surprisingly, they finished fourth. I had them in the top three.
Yeah.
What does it matter? Not a darn thing. Now you got to prove it to them, and I think that's what the votes came. We got to prove it to them.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't a ton of separation. It wasn't like it was a landslide for Oregon to win the conference, and obviously there's very few votes separating them in Colorado, and then even Arizona and Washington were not separated by very many votes either.
I think we played a little of the clips from Sean. He wasn't impressed at all by the NCAA. It was.
I think everyone knows the deal now.
you can hear the same thing, and it's tired.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, and how many stories like that are you going to write over the course of the last 2 or 3 years or whatever?
Yeah, you're not. And if you do,
it's the same story for the last 2 years.
Right. Right, it's old news by now, and we're just waiting for the NCAA. But I think he's handled himself very well. He was pretty relaxed. And I didn't see the kids do their interviews, did you?
No.
No? So I don't know how that went.
I saw a little bit of it on the TV portion, and they look fine. Obviously, you're taking two freshmen, which hasn't been done in a very, very long time.
Which says a lot about Sean and how he feels.
That's an interesting juxtaposition to what you were talking about earlier about Kevin Sumlin.
No, that's a great point, Tom. Great point. He won't let their guys talk, and then Sean will just take the two. No, that's a great thought. I don't think Sean's ever not let the freshmen talk.
Well, they were saying this is the first time they've had two freshmen representing one of the teams on the show there, the media days.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. They're probably two best players.
Yeah.
They handled themselves well, both of them.
Yeah.
And who else would you want there?
Yeah, no, Grant, not Grant, Jared. Not Grant Jarrett. I'm thinking Grant Jarrett.
Grant Jarrett would love to do it. He's come back.
But even though we haven't mentioned them, but it's pretty obvious who it was: Nico Mannion and
Sure.
Josh Green.
Sure, the center. Jeez, well, come
Chase
on.
Jeter.
Chase Jeter. Oh, I'm Grant Jarrett. I'm thinking 11. He's been gone 7 years already, probably.
I think from an interest, if you're a media member and you say, "Oh, that's better than what I was thinking," I would much rather talk to them as opposed to talking to Chase Jeter again.
Sure. Same old story. No, but that's a great point. I think the coaches just need to let them grow up. It's part of growing up.
And if again, going back to that thought, why is it okay for guys like Nico Mannion and Josh Green to talk to the media? A lot of cases, it's the same media members.
Correct.
If you're talking about the people covering the team.
Yeah.
And is this the first time that Sean has had a freshman?
I don't think so. I think he's done that before.
But not just two freshmen, it was the first.
Yeah. It was the two first freshmen at Pac-12 Media Day since O.J. Mayo and Kevin Love.
Right, so that's more than 10 years.
Yeah, so at least at Arizona, he hasn't done it.
Yeah, no. He's kind of guarded, too. And most of the time.
But he's always let them talk.
Oh, yeah, no question. Not maybe after a big game or something, but no, he's been fine.
They typically have the media day, which is before anything, and that's a free-for-all. I mean, you can ask, there's no one watching over you. There's no one kind of giving them a wink or a nod saying, hey, don't talk about that. I mean, it's a free-for-all. So
It's
sort of like the new fresh face of Arizona basketball, and a lot of the people there wanted to see these guys.
No, it's funny. In fact, that would be a good question to ask Sean at the next press conference, if it's possible. What's your philosophy in freshman talking? One. And Adia Barnes, too. Because I'm sure they let them all talk.
And if there's someone who could have an excuse to not let freshmen talk because what does it matter? It's Sean Miller.
Sean Miller, right. Well, that's a good point. That's a great point.
It's actually not helping his program any by having them talk.
No. No,
I mean, it's not like you need to sell tickets or you need to generate interest. It's there regardless of whether they talk or not.
No, exactly. And some of them are here and there, here and gone.
Yeah. That's the difference, is that the program understands a lot of these guys are going to be gone after a year anyway. So,
well, let's also say that I remember talking to Raleigh Alkins maybe weeks into the season, his freshman year, remember, when he talked about his driving his car, learning how to drive. And I'm thinking, where in the world have they been hiding? I mean, it was the year when they didn't have any, it was the first year we didn't have a media day. And they brought him out 2 months into the program. I'm thinking, where has this guy been hiding? They should have been using him all the time because he was affable, a good quote, happy to be there, yada, yada. And it just didn't, you know, because we get two or three at a time.
Yeah.
And whether that's right or wrong, whatever. But we were also spoiled back in the old days when we can get whatever we wanted and they'd bring them to us. C'est la vie. But it is what it is. Now we got to get ready for the game. It's going to be 3 weeks, probably?
Yeah, about that, I think.
3 weeks, and it's been 2 weeks since we've talked to them, at least. What will we know about them? I guess we'll see about chemistry and all that. But I think I'm hearing that he really likes how they're handling themselves. Which would be no surprise to you.
No.
Because I think they're going to play well together.
Yeah, and I think that was done deliberately in putting together. I think there was a lot of care in putting together this roster and picking the right pieces that are both talented and have a good head on their shoulders.
Well, we were talking about this yesterday. I was talking about this exact same thing yesterday with somebody else, if it wasn't you. But that's exactly what we talked about. Very calculating roster.
And no coach. I mean, even factoring in Kentucky and Duke and all these programs that are thought to be at the very, very top, is going to land his perfect roster.
Right.
This is pretty close to what I think a perfect Sean Miller roster could be in terms of what he wants, with a mix of maybe not pure talent. And I'm sure we know he can land a more talented roster just based on pure talent. But I think in terms of talent mixed with understanding the game and personality and character and all that, I think it's as close as he can get.
Well, he's run the gamut in the last couple of years, 2-3 years. What, 2 years ago, everyone thought that was the most talented team Arizona's ever had, with Ayton and Alkins and Trier and some others. And turned out to be okay. It was talented, but they didn't like playing with each other.
Well, and even going back to just him and him having his perfect team, he could never have that at Arizona.
No.
And if he laid out, this is the perfect team that I think could play to the highest potential under me, he can't have that at Arizona.
Why you say that?
Because he wants to build it like he would build a roster at Xavier.
Yeah,
and you can't do that at Arizona.
You can't do that. The best one he had was 2014-2015, back to back years before Wisconsin came and destroyed it. But that was pretty tough.
That was, I mean, that's going to go down, I think, is probably the closest to perfection for him.
Likeable personalities, leadership, all the way around, had everything to it.
It's playing just, hard. I think that's a key component of a Sean Miller team that has success is they just play hard.
Yeah. Well, this will show whether team chemistry or raw talent or
it'll show it all.
Make the difference.
It'll show it all because it has that. When I saw them playing Red Blue and I, you know, talking to whoever I was talking to, I really liked the team. I wrote that story. I just feel like to your point, it has all the right pieces and not just one or two pieces. It has a few good pieces, you know, deep pieces.
And it sounds like, from what I've heard from Matt and other people and yourself, it sounds like the new guys are meshing well with the older guys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think the one guy that will get the unsung guy will be the Cornell grad that will kind of like mold them in a weird, smart way and kind of be a guy who contributes but isn't like the star.
Yeah. Is that Giddings?
Yep, Stone Giddings.
Stone
Giddings? Yep.
Well, you nod your head because you agree, or maybe you think that's
I think that's a possibility. I think that's if he can fit that role, then that's going to be a good thing for Arizona.
I think he's going to be the TJ McConnell of now, where he, you know.
I'm interested to see how fiery he can get because I think that's what TJ McConnell had. I mean, I know you're talking about a different sense and a different type
like a
of
leadership,
way.
Like a come in and do the job. Yeah, and I wasn't even thinking that, but I'm sure that's the case too. Listening to him on the podium was like, oh, this guy gets it.
Kind of like he went to Cornell.
Yeah, but Cornell is basketball and kind of being like the father of the group that needs to learn.
Well, and I think that's on that point. I think going back to what we were just talking about and the team kind of meshing together, the older guys, it's just how college basketball is. The older guys are still in college for a reason, and they understand that these new guys that are might be gone very quickly, they need them to win basketball games.
Right.
Because we saw what it looked like when you didn't have particularly talented freshmen like these guys last year.
Right.
It didn't end well.
No, it didn't. It didn't. And we've seen that before. They lost Wichita State, remember, back 2, 3, 4 years ago, and same kind of team. It wasn't talented enough, but it was okay, and they were out in the first round.
And I also don't think that's forced this year, though. I think there's years where, of course, it's been where the older guys are, you know, jealous of the attention that the freshmen are getting, and what about me?
Right.
I don't think there is that with this team. I think they genuinely believe, hey, we need these guys, and we're going to work best if we work together.
And that goes a long way,
yeah.
A huge way, because if you're not together, you're not together. And it's like a family.
Yeah.
And I think this team will show
that.
We've
seen very talented teams in the past few years that have been very talented but didn't play together, and we saw the result.
And we've seen it in a lot of other places. You know, Duke had their guys. Kentucky's had their long guys. What have they done? Not a darn thing. So we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to it in a weird way. I hope that we're able to talk, get some stories, do some stories, and find some stories. We'll see. Thanks, Matt, for coming in.
Yeah, of course.
Talk to you next week. See you tomorrow.
Yep, I'll be there.
See you at the game. You can buy me dinner. That'd be good?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Tom. Talk to everybody next week here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.